Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I too join colleagues to welcome the high-level delegation from Lebanon and to pay tribute to my colleague, Nala, for her professional expertise, her role as a unifier, and her humaneness. It is a privilege to work with her, not only for the committee, but to have her as a friend. I also commend the State Party for the field schools, innovative field schools that you established following the explosions, your comprehensive responses to our list of issues, the gender-sensitive planning in educational policies, including the requirement that authors of national-level textbooks must be familiar with international human rights instruments on gender-based discrimination, and that for lower primary, basic training in gender is compulsory. However, we would like to see an institutionalization of these features in the teacher training curriculum, and that to ensure it is implemented and trickles down to all teachers in the public schools. We also commend the recommendations by the National Commission for Lebanese Women encouraging young males to become teachers, to break the female monopoly and sex role stereotypes, and the collaboration you have ventured on with development partners to encourage girls to pursue STEM subjects. You have also provided us impressive statistics on female performance in traditional male-dominated spheres in your State Party report. And my ensuing observations take nothing away from the expertise, the infrastructure, and the opportunities that these figures and achievements represent. I'd like to look at some of the figures, and that in science, women represent 10,000 as opposed to men 5,000. In law, 6,000 as opposed to the men 4,000. In the Doctoral School of Science and Technology, 180 women as opposed to 104 men. In pharmacy, over 300 as opposed to 80 men average. And in medicine, 800 as opposed to 600 men. Agriculture, 500 as opposed to 300 men. Now, the only male-dominated areas are engineering and the Institute of Technology, where even there, women represent 75%. However, when the figures are tallied, we will see that there are 19,000 males as opposed to 45,000 females, and that is for the year 2017 and 2018. The question, therefore, is where are the men? What are they doing outside the country's educational sphere at this stage? And how is that going to impact women and the value placed on their education later on? So in short, it seems the males are just absent. Alternative reports indicate that they migrate, they follow their fathers into business and politics, while the girls go into education with no commensurate employment prospects, and rather they risk a potential devaluation of their education in those fields. So this seemingly impressive picture lays a foundation for gendered roles, because without employment, they will remain subservient to men who will be the main breadwinners, and this can bring about domestic disequilibrium. With the economic turndown, the males will find a means of earning money, while the females are relying on the formal sector, if they enter there at all, and with the depressed salaries due to the devaluation of the currency. How can this situation be recalibrated? For example, ensuring jobs for girls, and therefore really motivating girls who go into science and addressing these stereotypes. And that in spite of this impressive showing, what traditional stereotypes and structural barriers remain for the girls? The economic impact, the impact of the economic crisis on education is also concerning. The 50% brain drain, the children pulled out of school to meet families' basic needs, the teacher strike due to their salaries lost, the inability of students to pay the cost of education, transport fares, for example, and the announcement by the education minister that a new compensation package for public school teachers would be approved. Please inform if this has been done to enable teaching and learning progress, and whether there are incentive packages to enable students return to school. How will you address the insufficiency of professionally trained teachers at all levels and for children with disabilities? How will you ensure adequate public funding for schools in spite of your difficulties, which have been recognized by all experts before me? Let me turn to the refugee population and endorse everything that has been said by expert Gaba. Your refugee population is the highest per capita in the world. Nevertheless, we observe that a lot of refugee families are not attending school, even with the reopening, and we risk an generational education gap. What measures in place to boost the low enrollment retention rate, address dropout rates among the refugee and economically disadvantaged community as a protection, among others, against child marriage? Again, we notice the challenges posed by COVID and the lack of electricity, already alluded to, and its impact on education. With the development partners, will you consider alternative energy sources, for example, solar energy, to enable some semblance of normalcy return to the critical spheres of your country? I thank you very much.